Folks, listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the shows that you love. Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell, The Scoot Show, Sports Talk, plus the local content that you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. We're back here on Sports Talk. And happy to welcome in a Super Bowl champ to the radio huddle in John Stinchcomb. John, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. How you been doing?
Been great. Enjoyed watching the draft. Thought the Saints improved themselves, and I look forward to seeing what these new prospects offer.
First off, man, I want to tell you a big congrats on being named the new color analyst for the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network. I know you're following some legendary footsteps there. You got to be excited about this coming season.
Yeah, I'm pumped. You know, I enjoy doing Saints preseason TV, and you know, I'm a biased reporter. So being able to talk about two teams that I love, I'm looking forward to it. It's a great opportunity for me, and I'll be able to follow the Dogs and the Saints, and what more can you ask for?
We're going to go right into, obviously, the Saints drafting two Bulldogs on this draft, going heavy on the Georgia players with Kristen Miller, Oscar Delp. From your perspective, what is it about Kirby Smart's program that makes these guys such plug-and-play pro athletes?
First, they recruit really well. You talk about starting with a nice piece of clay for the Potter. I mean, you recruit it 4- and 5-star guys, and you challenge them in practice on a daily basis, and I think that's why the program has found the success that they have. But it's demanding. I mean, it's notoriously physical in practice, and Kirby's going to call you out and make sure that you're given 100% at all times. And I think that's what some players are coming to Georgia for, that very reason. And they want to be pushed. They want to get better. They want to be able to maximize their skills, and I think the Saints picked up two of the better players that were available coming out of Georgia this year.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on Kristen Miller? He's kind of an interesting prospect. Definitely got a personality on him, but he's a big boy. You know, obviously can stuff the run, but what are your thoughts on Kristen?
Well, that's the first thing that I'm looking for. If I want a defensive tackle, he's got to be able to stop the run. And the more he can add in the pass rush game, the better. And I think that's who Kristen is. Kristen's a player that, you know, he is physical in the run game, has powerful hands, made a lot of tackles for Georgia against the run this year, and flashed at times in the passing game. He's not I remember when Brzee came out of Clemson, and how he had that explosive first step and it was pass rush first, and they were going to improve his run defense. I think Kristen is kind of set up in the opposite form of I expect him to be very physical and a factor in the run game early on and be able to develop his skill set as a pass rusher. I do think he's got the abilities and some of the traits that you're looking for to be a better pass rusher, but I think what defines him at this point and why you drafted him is that he's a physical player with a high upside that plays the run really well.
Yeah, you know, one thing Kristen said when we talked to him is, you know, he's excited to team up with Brian. He's been watching Brian since high school, or since Brian was in high school. And it is an interesting pairing, and I'm just curious, you know, as a former offensive lineman, right? You know, when you have these very different skill sets on the interior defensive line across from you, how difficult is that as an offensive lineman to kind of adjust on the fly when one guy might be a little bit more athletic, maybe able to rush the passer, versus another guy who is kind of just that bull inside? Like, what are those varying skill sets on the defensive line do for a defense, and what are the challenges they present for the offensive line?
I think that's the biggest challenge for an offensive lineman is each week and each team has this variety of players. I mean, one week you're going up against, you know, some huge monster, and the next time it's someone smaller and quicker. And when a team's able to offer a variety of looks and has players with different skill sets that they can utilize, I think it makes them more dangerous. And for a defensive front, you know, I would expect Kristen to be kind of between the guards, and it would allow Brzee to play more between that guard tackle space and allow him to, you know, utilize some of that quickness and explosiveness he has as a pass rusher. So, you know, if you're looking at nose tackle and three tech, Kristen's going to be able to absorb a lot of that double team action and interior play that would demand the strength and power that he offers, and hopefully will allow Brian to free himself and play with a little more space. And, it's always good when you create synergy between the two of them, because I think they are different players that have high ceilings.
John, and the other guy from the Bulldogs, tight end Oscar Delp, what can you say about him? I know a lot of the knocks, at least, was getting drafted was the fact he didn't have many receptions, but I feel like he does so much more than that. And there's been a ton of talk, too, post-draft of that, there being some untapped potential with him.
I think that is exactly right. It's untapped potential, and I don't think it's his fault. You look at how he was used this past year. He was one of the more effective blockers. If anything, Georgia's offensive line went through some growing pains early in the year, and so they relied on a sixth blocker in the lineup, and many times that was Oscar Delp. And because he was so effective as that edge blocker in Georgia's system, I don't think it availed the opportunities to highlight his skill set, because he is an adept pass catcher. And really, you look back to 2024 and some of the plays that he made down the field, I think that highlights what the Saints are hoping they can pull out of him, is that dual threat option where, if he's lined up in line, he can be effective and help running backs get to the edge, but also be a threat down the field, which is something that, you didn't see a lot of on film this past year. But when given the opportunities, I mean, he's one of those players, having watched him throughout his career, that is capable. The numbers just didn't reflect it.
John, I'm curious, your opinion. In today's NFL, it seems like, there's more of a push toward heavy personnel, right? You're seeing more two tight end packages, even three tight end packages. And the interesting thing to me is, like, in the past, you would put all those big bodies out on the field to run the ball. In with what Sean McVay and the Rams did, and what I think a lot more teams are going to start doing now, is they're putting those big bodies out there. They're putting those three tight ends out there because they want to throw the ball. They want to get the other team in base personnel with heavy bodies, and then send those guys out there. And that requires guys, tight ends, who can not only block and sell the run, but also go out there and be weapons out down the field. I'm just curious, do you think that's what the Saints are planning to do a little bit with Oscar and with Noah Fant and with Juwan Johnson? And how do you think that could affect their offense this year?
I think it's all about creating mismatches and opportunities. And every coordinator is looking for an advantage. And, as you look at tight ends, it's almost become a misnomer. You can thank Jimmy Graham and company for that, because how many times do they really line up as a slot receiver? And you're saying, all right, are you going to play with a linebacker over him because you want somebody physical in the run game? Or are you going to drop down a safety? Or is it a nickel corner that you're bringing in because you think it's sub-personnel? So when you have tight ends that are able to do both, so you have like the slot wide receiver tight end, and then you have the inline, put your hand in the dirt, tight end who also plays like that fullback motion between the tackles bumper. So most teams have a quote unquote tight end or two that fill those spaces in different capacities. And we've seen that. You look at the skill sets from like a Foster Moreau versus a Juwan Johnson and how they're used, and you see that. Yes, they fall under the category of tight end, but how they're deployed in the matches and the ask for that particular player is different. So these coordinators are trying to create those advantages in personnel and spacing and pre-snap motions and all the various things that they're throwing at a defense. But yes, because of their body type, I think it challenges a defense to figure out what kind of personnel you're going to play with when you have two or three of the big bodies out on the field.
John, you know very well that the Saints are really honed in and locked in on addressing the offensive line always. They did this year with Jeremiah Wright, a big guy out of Auburn, 6'3", 331, a big mountain of a man there. With the current state of the interior line, though, how do you think, how quickly can he adjust to the speed of NFL defensive tackles?
Yeah, I think you draft him hoping that there's not an immediate need that he's going to be on the field. Hopefully he's that number six guy that provides that depth and swing position, because we've invested so much, one, through the draft, but obviously pretty substantial free agent add this offseason as well. So looking at it, when you draft a guy in the third round, you obviously like his skill set. But you're hoping that it's not a day one starter, because really that's more of an indictment of the guys that you already have in house. And having seen Jeremiah play some this season, when we were looking at Auburn film, talented guy, big body, plays with, like, he plays heavy but doesn't have heavy feet, which, for those out there, he can anchor well against the bull rush and some of those bigger defensive tackles, but he also can get out in space and move. And that's what you like about him, and hope that it translates well, because, I think part of the thing is you're building an offense now that Tyler Shuck is the man, and you recognize what you have in hand there. Trying to build around him and make sure that you keep him safe and give him the weapons that he needs to be successful.
Yeah, you kind of brought it up there, and kind of take a broader look at this Saints team and heading into the 2026 season. I'm curious what you think about this, because to me it's like we look at the last five seasons and how it's gone, and they're just, since Drew left, there just has not been a ton of realistic optimism of, hey, like, this team should be good. This team should be heading in the right direction. It always kind of seemed like, hey, you're kind of leveling off. Maybe you get to the middle. Maybe you fight your way to the playoffs with 10 wins, whatever. They won nine games in DA's second season, and it just felt like pulling teeth the whole way. It seems to me like that's shifting. Like, it seems like, there's been a commitment to rebuilding the roster and bringing in kind of high floor players, to making a lot of draft picks. They made 17 draft picks over the last two seasons. And also, it feels like you've hit the quarterback. I'm curious, do you think that's a real thing? Is that just me imagining it? Or is there kind of a sense of trending in the right direction that just hasn't been there for this team for the last several years?
Yeah, I think before Kellen even walked through the door, you looked at it and you realize for a couple years, I think from my perspective, that New Orleans thought they were closer than they probably were to being at that elite level. And injuries had a lot to do with it. And you look at the roster, and because they were so cash strapped with how they've approached the salary cap, you could field a pretty good, pretty solid, competitive first string. But as guys got hurt, there just wasn't the depth that some of the better teams had out there. And especially during DA's tenure, as we started racking up injuries, you didn't have the depth. And there was such drop-off between the starter and the next guy that it showed how lean the cupboards had become for stockpiling talent. And now that you're kind of on the other side of that and have eaten some of the dead weight, dead money loss that the Saints had faced over these past few years, and invested in draft picks and hit on them. So I think now you're looking at a roster that you're going, okay, I see where the growth is. I see where opportunity is. And there is reason for optimism to think that they're pointed in the right direction and are starting to put pieces in place that will make them competitive.
John, definitely appreciate your insights on the game, the players, and looking forward to hearing you, Georgia football, now being the color analyst. Are you still going to get to do the preseason games for the Saints?
That's my hope. I usually don't find out till June, but my understanding is those two will not conflict. So as long as they're willing, I would love to.
John Stinchcomb, Saints Super Bowl champ, joining us here on WWL. Appreciate the time. You have a great weekend, John.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate it. Who dat?
Who dat? John Stinchcomb, Saints Super Bowl chance, offensive tackle, and now the Georgia football color analyst.
Yeah, you know, one thing he said there at the end that I agree with completely, and it's sustainability is one of the reasons that this the current roster as you see it feels so solid. You have depth behind the starters. And it's something we haven't had. And that's so you have optimism and you also have sustainable optimism that hasn't existed. I think he made a great point there.